Thank you, worship team, once again, for a powerful set. And I want to, my name is Heather Hetzendorfer. I want to thank Pastor Craig and Christine for the honor of standing here and sharing my heart, my passion, which is spiritual warfare. So part of our Freedom series, leading up to the conference, Pastor Craig has been speaking, and so I am now speaking on spiritual warfare. Pick up your sword. That is the title of this message. And the cool thing is when you look at the word sword, it's got the word of God in it already. Like, how cool is that? Like, I discovered that. I'm sure you guys all knew that. But anyways, Ephesians 6, 10 through 18 is about the armor of God. We're not going to read it in detail today because we're going to go through some other scripture. But I valued this scripture growing up in Sunday school down to a flannel board experience. That's pretty much what this scripture meant to me. Is if anybody was raised in the 80s in Sunday school, woohoo, I'm an 80s baby, you would actually pin the armor onto the little flannel dude, onto the flannel board. And that's what Ephesians 8, 6 was. That was like, oh, yay, it's Romans fashion analogy. This is what the Romans wore back in the day. I had absolutely no idea the power of what that message, what that scripture actually meant until I heard this true story that I'm going to share with you about the power of using the sword, which is the word of God, towards your situation. So in Sydney, Australia, I lived there for 4 years, and the senior pastor there shared this true story of how they got their property. So about 30 years ago, they were outgrowing their warehouse that they were currently having services in, and so the Lord told them to start looking for land. They found a 30-acre property. It was a farmland, and they knew that the Lord had called them to build the future of his ministry there. And so they prayed, but the city would not release the property to a church. They said, absolutely not. We're not selling it to a church. So they prayed. They had all-night prayer meetings. They had connect group prayer meetings. They had day prayer meetings. They prayed. So 1 year goes by. No movement. City will not release it. 2 years goes by. The city will not release it. 8 years goes by of the church praying and asking, God, this is the land you told us to get. Like, what's going on? Nothing was moving until, so pretty much Pastor Phil just gave up. He's like, okay, I guess this is just not the Lord's will. I guess this is, I got it wrong. We're not supposed to be moving. We're not supposed to do this right now. But the Lord told him, fast and pray one more time. So he fasted. And on a Sunday morning, he was standing in the front row just worshiping like he normally does. And the Lord opens his eyes. And standing on the stage, he sees a huge demon filling the entire stage. True story. It was huge. It was strong. It was snarling. It was looking straight at Pastor Phil. Pastor Phil asked the Lord, what is this? He goes, that is what is stopping your land. He goes, well, what am I supposed to do with it? He goes, I'm going to give you a scripture, and I want you to take that scripture and to declare it out loud until it shrinks and leaves. He goes, well, what scripture am I supposed to declare? And he gave him 1 John 4:4. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And true story, Pastor Phil goes, do you got anything stronger than that? This thing is really, really big. And he goes, no, you declare it. Start declaring right now. So he declared it while he was driving, while he was eating, while he was in the shower, while he was in his office. He declared it out loud. That next Sunday, he's standing in the front row, just worshiping the Lord, focusing on the Lord, and the Lord opens his eyes again, and the demon has significantly shrunk. His faith rises. He's like, it's working. He kept on doing it week after week, declaring this scripture out loud each Sunday, the Lord opened his eyes and showed him this completely shrinking. Week 8, he's standing in the very front. The Lord opens his eyes. The demon is shriveled up on a step, small, emaciated, in chains, completely powerless. And the Lord said, now your land will be released to you. That next Monday, the day after, he gets a phone call from the city saying, we just decided to go ahead and meet one more time, and we went ahead as a board, made a decision to go ahead and release the land to you. For 8 years, he prayed, the church prayed, and in 8 weeks, with a specific scripture that he declared out loud into the supernatural, it completely shifted. We do not fight against flesh and blood. That's what Ephesians says. So basically, everything we see, we're not fighting against. That's called people, flesh and blood. We fight against this supernatural realm. Therefore, we need a supernatural weapon. The problem is in the world is that we're fighting against the supernatural realm with our physical bodies. We're angry at people. We're fighting people. We're upset at our boss, upset at our family. And there could be a supernatural realm stirring behind it that you're not addressing. And so Pastor Phil did not know who he was fighting against. For 8 years, he thought he was fighting against God, right? He's like, okay, God, I guess this isn't what you want to do. And then God opened his eyes to show him who he was fighting against, gave him a scripture, reminded him that he had a sword in his hand, and it shifted. What are you fighting against? Some of you are actually not fighting against the devil. You're fighting against God and yourself. And so you cannot fight until you know who you're fighting against first. That's our first point. Know your enemy before you pick up your sword. So you've got a bad situation in your life, relationship, finance, sickness. Who's the enemy? What we're going to do is we're going to go through job descriptions. You need to know who the Lord's job description is in your situation, know who God's job description is, and know what your job description is before you pick up your sword and start fighting. You got to know who's behind this, right? Because we have a role in this too. Surprise. Everything we do has positive or negative consequences attached to it. If you haven't already figured that out. So choose wisely. Okay, let's go through the job descriptions of everyone, and then we'll do some examples so you kind of can know how to use this yourself. The job description of the devil: kill, steal, and destroy. If you have anything in your life that's being stolen or destroyed, chances are the enemy could be working behind the scenes in your world, okay? But let's look at the job description of Jesus. I've come that you may have life and have it to the fullest, set captives free, bring life, healing, hope, salvation. So if you have something that's being stolen or destroyed in your life, chances are Jesus isn't part of that, okay? Your job description: I set before you life and prosperity, death and destruction. Please choose life. But you have a choice. You have a choice in here. This is where we blame the devil usually. When we have something hit our life, we forget that scripture, that we have an option to choose what we do. The choices we make every day are leading us on a pathway of life or death. We choose, not the devil. God doesn't choose for us. We choose. You can't make the devil can't make you do anything. So let's go through some examples with the screen up. So if you're having a financial issue, is it God, is it the devil, or is it you? Okay, let's look at this. Well, the job description of the devil, again, is to kill, steal, and destroy. So yeah, if your finances are being under attack or being stolen, then chances are the enemy could be at work. Now, what is Jesus' job description? Again, for your finances, doesn't look like Jesus is part of that. Now let's look at your job description. You own how you manage your money. Now, if you're not tithing 10% of your income, Malachi 3 actually says a curse has authority to rest upon your finances if you're not obedient. So who is it? That could be actually you own that and the devil if your finances are under an attack. Now, if your finances are under attack and you are a tither, then you have authority through your obedience to the covenant of God to rise up and fight against it until it changes. You have authority under the covenant of God because God moves through your word declaration. So again, if you have financial issues, you have to figure out what you own. Then if you still feel like there's a stronghold behind it, get a scripture, declare it out loud until your financial situation shifts. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says the weapons we fight are not the weapons of the world. So again, a reminder, we are not fighting with weapons that the world uses. But the weapon that we do fight is the word of God, a supernatural weapon that has authority to demolish strongholds. This is our spiritual sword. So let's do another example. You're having health issues. Let's go to the root of who could be behind it. Is it God? Is it the devil? Or is it you? So again, let's look at God's job description. Bring life and life more abundantly. We can mark that off. Jesus is not causing your sickness. Okay, devil. Kill, steal, and destroy. Yep, sounds like he could probably be behind it. But what's really cool in the New Testament is Jesus makes it very clear. When he heals somebody that's just simply sick, and when he rebukes a demon off of a sickness that's causing a sickness. So we talk about this more in my class, about the differences between the scriptures and the Bible, that basically that's telling us that not all sickness is from the devil, okay? So just this is, I'm trying to speak practical things so that we're not going around talking about demons all the time, casting demons out of everything that we ourselves could be causing. Because when we look at our job description, we get to choose what we put in our mouth, right? We choose what we eat, the vitamins we take or don't take, the gym we go to or we don't go to, the stress levels we have or we don't have, right? That's our choice. Okay, but the beautiful thing that Jesus Christ can save and heal any of us, no matter if we did it ourselves or if the devil's behind it. But when you pray and rise up and realize that you have an issue, you have to know who you're fighting against first before you start declaring your sword, right? Because if you need to take part in what you own first, you don't need to be going around and claiming scripture and fighting against the devil. But if you can sense that there's an enemy behind this, then that's when you need a scripture. Now, there's three things that I have studied, so this is my opinion, that I have learned when sickness is attached to a demonic stronghold is usually when one of these three is around. So number one, the timing of the sickness that hits a person. If it's during a season of prosperity and growth and life and health and you feel like you're on a pathway, like you're on the path that God has put before you, and then suddenly something hits you and you're taken out, chances are that could be a way that the enemy is trying to take you out. You're taking territory and he doesn't want you to. Another way that you can tell the enemy's behind sickness is when you see patterns in your family. There could be a generational curse. If you've got a very clear thing that you can stem back to a couple different people in your family, chances are the enemy could be bringing that as destruction through your family line. The third reason I have learned the enemy's behind something is when the doctors have absolutely no idea what's going on. Usually, we can find that the enemy is at work. So again, doesn't matter what the root is, if it's you or it's the enemy, you can change your life, choose life, and then rise up with the scripture and fight against what is stopping you from your life of health and prosperity. So please have hope. Jesus Christ can heal no matter what card we hand him. Like, it doesn't matter if we did it or we didn't. Jesus Christ can still heal. So again, my hope is that we stop blaming God for everything and we blame the devil for everything, because there's a balance in what we own too. And somewhere in this earth, God and the devil kind of switch job descriptions, because if you notice, many people in this earth feel like that if they're under an attack in any area, they just blame God. Like, God, you're not showing up, so it's your fault. You know, this natural disaster, all of that is you. You're doing that. And that does not fit his job description. You know he's not behind it. So you have the choice. You have the choice of life and death before you, and the Lord is urging you to please choose life. But that's what spiritual warfare is it's a choice if we pick up and start fighting or not. So when you determine the enemy of your situation and you determine that the enemy is real in your life, this is why we have to put on our armor. And there's some scriptures that just show you that, yes, there is an enemy here in the world. He is real. And we're going to go through those. Ephesians 2:2, we live on earth where Satan has dominion. Until Jesus Christ comes back to heaven, comes back and brings heaven down to earth, Satan has dominion here on this earth. That's why we're in a war. That's why we're in a supernatural war. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Yay, we can clap on this one. 1 John 3:8. But Jesus moves through the power of our words. He's activated to move and release his army when we start rising up and realize he is inside us. And he wants out. He wants to move on your behalf, but you have to activate him in your life. Jesus modeled 1/3 of his ministry in the New Testament was casting out demons. This is part of our Great Commission. Heal the sick, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. But yet, many churches avoid this topic completely because out of the fear that we swing one way or the other. And so that's what I pray you guys are walking away with, a very level-headed approach to this. There are three job descriptions of everyone involved in your life, and you choose where that's going, and you choose if you fight. Do not be ignorant of the devil's schemes. We're not going to make everything about the devil, but we're not going to be ignorant of the fact that he does have authority here on this earth, and you have to fight. So I don't want everybody talking about the devil around here. Okay, when you became a Christian, you automatically entered into warfare. It has nothing to do with your gifting, calling, skills, or if you have pastor at the beginning of your name. You're part of spiritual warfare just by becoming a Christian. If we could only physically see what is happening in the supernatural realm, we would fight differently. Elisha prayed that his servant would open his eyes to see the army of God surrounding the enemy army, because physically there was an enemy army that was surrounding Elijah and his servant. And he prayed, Father, open my servant's eyes, because the servant was starting to freak out. Show him. And he opened his eyes. He could see the army of the Lord surrounding, waiting to start moving. If we could see that, we would fight differently. But sometimes we just, because we don't realize we have this sword in our hand, we sit passively, we let life hit us, and we go, oh, well, God, you must just be doing this somehow. And anytime we blame someone else, what does that make us? Makes you powerless, right? Because you got blame on someone else. You can't do anything about it. So I pray that you guys would know you have a sword and to stop blaming God or the devil for what you're going through. So number one, know who you're fighting first before you pick up your sword. Know who is involved. Number two, know the power of your sword. Ephesians 1, we have been given power. That we would know this power, the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, the power that is far above every ruler, authority, power, and dominion, and above every title. We have been given power to fight, but we have to use it. It's powerless if we don't use it. You have a superhero living inside of you, and you have to use him. He wants to be used. He's inside. He wants to act. He wants to be activated and move on behalf of whatever you're facing. But you have to use your sword. Get a specific scripture. Fight until it shifts. Two of the most commonly used swords during Roman times is the double-handed sword, which is mostly used for practice because it strengthens the arms and it's good for skill. And then the other one is just the really long one you see in movies that people sword fight with, and that just wounds more than it does kill. But what the word of God is in the Greek is makeira, and that word actually is a dagger. This thing is a dagger, and it's twisted on the end, and when you stab your opponent, you twist it, pull it out, and everything comes with it. Like, how cool is that? That is called warfare, killing your enemy. It's powerful. It's alive. Sorry, when I look down, it gets really loud. It's powerful. It's alive. It's not a fairy wand. It is a sword. So know the power of your sword. Number three, meditate on your sword. So I grew up with a Christian heritage I'm very thankful for. Grandparents that were missionaries with Amy Semple McPherson, planted churches. And my mom taught me how to read the Bible every day since I was like 8 years old. But I did it just out of obedience. I was obedient in that area, not in a lot. But I was obedient reading the Bible, but it was just like scrolling through social media for me. It was like, oh, that was good. Oh, that was nice. Oh, I didn't know that happened. Just kind of scrolling through. And it never really had any power to it. Like I had no other connection with it. Because when it's just in your head, it's just knowledge. When it's just in your heart, it's just inspiration. But when both of those connect in the spirit, it ignites. It suddenly becomes powerful. And that's why it's so important that we learn how to meditate on the word of God. So John 1:8 and Psalms 1:2, Joshua 1:8. It's talking about day and night. Day and night we meditate on it. Because whatever you're looking at becomes who you are. It starts growing in you. And so I used to go through the Bible in a year programs. Those weren't the best for me. They may be for you. But I was reading them and just checking them off as, okay, oh, crap, I didn't do my full day. So now I need to go back, and I'm behind, and you'd get upset. So I quit that. I'm like, it's going to take me 3 or 4 years to go through the one-year Bible. I piece it and just, like, pick a paragraph that the Lord highlights to me, and I just spend time reading and meditating that over and over, over and over. I say it out loud. I ask the Holy Spirit to show me, and that's when it comes alive. That's when the Holy Spirit ignites it. James 1:21, the word of God has been planted in you and can save you. It's alive. I want to encourage any mom or dads out there that have lost sons or daughters to the faith and they're just stray right now, that scripture, the scripture you've read over them, the scripture you've declared over them is in them, and it will save them. It will. You just have to keep on declaring it privately, not to them, privately, and then the Lord will move. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, the word of God is at work in you who believe. Again, whatever we meditate on, we believe. So meditate on your sword. Number four, use your sword. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. Now it's sharp and it penetrates, but only when you use it. That is why you have it in your hand, is to use it. When you became a Christian, it's called, congratulations, you're a Christian, here's your sword. But we were just like, and one of the stories I'm going to share in my class too is this vision that this pastor had. He ended up writing a book over this 3 series of visions that the Lord gave him about what spiritual warfare looks like what it looks like in the supernatural realm. And we as Christians are dragging our sword. We have this army attacking us, and we're going, God, what are you doing? Can't believe you're doing this. This is awful. And the whole time we're just dragging, marching in this army like robots, and no one is rising up and coming up against what is attacking them. Pastor Phil declared the word like a sword over his situation, and it shrunk and it broke. What do you need to declare over your situation until it changes? What scripture do you need to declare like a sword into the supernatural until it shifts? The word that the Lord asked, when the Lord was in the desert for 40 days, he was attacked 3 times by the enemy and used 3 specific scriptures like a sword to come against his identity, his power, and his purpose. 3 times, and the enemy left. That is a perfect example of what we are called to do when we are being attacked in any area of our life. Get a scripture, declare it until the enemy leaves. Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against you will prosper. And who will refute every tongue? We have to do this. Spiritual warfare is not waiting for someone really cool to fly down in the sky and save you. It is using your sword. You will refute out of your tongue, out of your mouth. Your words are going into the supernatural realm. That's why God created the earth with words, to show how powerful words are, that when we speak, something is being created. Whether it's good or it's bad, something in the supernatural realm is being created. So when I was going through attacks through the business world against my team, I was declaring Psalms 128:2, blessings and prosperity will be mine, and I will eat the fruit of my labor. I declared that scripture out loud until I saw a shift. When I lost my confidence and I was going through a really ugly stage, Jeremiah 17:7 was the scripture I declared out loud. I will be blessed because my trust and confidence is in Christ. I declared that every day until I felt that shift off me. When I was going through a season of fear and loneliness, I was declaring Isaiah 41:9 through 10. He has called me. I am his servant. He has chosen me. I will not fear. He is with me. He has strengthened me and helped me and upheld me with his righteous right hand. I declared it out loud until it shifted. Finances. When I was having attacks with my finances, I was declaring Luke 6:38, give and it will be given to you. I was reminding the enemy that I was a giver, that he had no authority to attack my finances. He still will, even though he doesn't have authority, but we have to get him off of our promised land, our territory, by declaring our words out loud until it shifts. When I was going through attacks with, when my sister was going through attacks in her life with a guy she was dating, and we knew that this was not the man that we had been praying for all her life, that she was waiting for. And she was just blinded and just couldn't see. And I asked the Lord for a scripture and declared it every day for 2 years. But one thing I learned, because I know this is why, like, why would it take 2 years? My job description, I was trying to control and manipulate the situation. I was praying and declaring, but I was also like, needs to go. He needs to go. Get rid of him. This needs to end. And I was... And this is what the Lord taught me, is that controlling and manipulation is witchcraft. Anytime you try to force somebody to change or force somebody to do something differently, and the Lord said, I can't move. You're operating in a power that's not me. I had to surrender. When I surrendered and just simply prayed that her eyes would be open to see. Instead of forcing her and telling her how awful this was and this is not right and crying on the phone and fighting and having tantrums, it shifted in 2 weeks after that. And she is now with a gorgeous man that loves Jesus with all his heart and loves his wife, and they now have a beautiful baby girl. And it is so beautiful to see you both flourishing together. But I had to get rid of myself first. Sometimes you're like, okay, God, I'll help you out because I know you need it. This is what we're going to do. So I'm closing with this. Genesis 1:2. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the face of the deep. Do you have anything in your life that feels really empty, formless, void, full of darkness? This is my favorite part. And the Spirit of God was hovering. This is the scripture right before verse 3 that said, and God said, let there be light. The Spirit of God is hovering over your life, waiting for the words to declare out into the supernatural so he can go out and start creating what you are called to receive. He's hovering. Thank you, God. Okay, as we get ready to close, I want to take a moment and just pray for anybody that has never received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, because, you know, you can actually get to heaven without using your sword, believe it or not. You could get to heaven if you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you can drag your sword around that's attached to your hand and just never use it the rest of your life, and you can still make it to heaven. But I firmly believe when we get there, the Lord's going to say, look, at all this I purchased for you, I bought for you, I wanted you to have, I wrote out for you to receive. But the enemy stopped you, and you surrendered to the enemy and just let it be. So that is the most important thing first, is to receive Christ if you have not. So I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and just pray this with me. Father God, I just ask for you to come into my heart. I repent of my sins, and I recognize you and declare you Lord over my life. You went to the cross and rose again so I could have access to all the freedom that you died for. Thank you for living inside me. Teach me how to activate you into my darkness so that my world changes. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that for the first time, I'm going to ask that you come up and meet our prayer team to solidify that into your heart and life, because the enemy will want to steal that seed from you. And so you need prayer partners around you to pray with you. So I'm going to ask our prayer team to please come forward. So again, any area of your life that you need to see breakthrough in, yes, you can pray and get partnership with others, but don't forget, when you go home, you have a sword. You don't need to wait till next Sunday. You can start declaring and using this sword to fight against whatever you're facing, but you have to rise up and do it. So I bless you guys. I thank you, Father, for teaching us how to use your sword, teaching us to know who lives inside us and the power we have access to. I bless every person here and declare a powerful week in your mighty name, we pray. Amen. Bless you guys. Yes, please come forward for prayer.